This is fun.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's put our hands together for yeah.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the eighth wonder of the world, the flow of the century, always timeless. Ho! Thank you for coming out tonight. You could have been anywhere in the world, but you're here with us. We appreciate that.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of Gillespie here on FTR Radio. I'm glad that you guys stuck around. I know we played a repeat last week, but we have a fresh, brand new show for you this week. We talk with Nick Barbconnect, who is chairman of the Indiana chapter of the Students for Mitch. And then we bring back a little Ask the Rhino with this week's Rhino, Elizabeth Blackney, a.k.a. Media Lizzie. We have a little fun with Lizzie this week. We're going to be talking about Libya and presidential politics. It's going to be fun. But, you know, there is going to be a theme to tonight's show that you'll notice. And frankly, it's almost like deja vu all over again. Just a few weeks ago, we were discussing Indiana Governor Mitch Daniels and his apparent lack of interest in having a right-to-work law pass the Indiana legislature during this very contentious session. We mentioned how many conservatives, including a number from around the country who'd never even heard of Mitch Daniels prior to this year, felt like Mitch was a sellout, a guy who didn't really care that much about conservatism and advancing the cause. Forget being a sellout. What this legislative session has proven without question is that the one thing you can really call Mitch Daniels is leader, because that is what he has proven himself to be once again. This became really clear once the Republican-controlled legislature passed the nation's largest and most comprehensive voucher bill, one that allows low- and middle-income families to use taxpayer funds to send their children to the private school of their choice. This incredibly bold new law will offer scholarships for children to attend the school of their choice, with the eligibility for households earning up to $60,000. While I don't expect this new law to assuage the angst of those social conservatives who appear to be looking for any excuse to label Mitch as a rhino or something worse, this is clearly another striking entry into his record as America's most successful governor. But here's the larger picture. Beyond the current legislative session and its successes is what this does for Governor Daniels' presumed presidential aspirations, though I'm still not convinced that he'll actually run. Though I've discussed it before in these monologues, it's important enough of a point that I need to restate it again. Being president is all about management ability. Having the right ideas are key, and certainly Mitch Daniels has the right ideas. Beyond that, Mitch has demonstrated a talent for seeing his ideas actually become law. Balancing a budget that is heavily in the red, check. Breaking the stranglehold that public sector unions had on Indiana's budget and economy, check. Overseeing job growth in the strongest economy in the Midwest, check. Fixing the always controversial daylight savings time issue and moving Indiana into the 21st century, check. Implementing one of the nation's leading healthcare reform measures in his Healthy Indiana plan without expanding the size of government, check. Putting in place extensive property tax reforms, including a cap on overall rates, check. When you compare his record to that of any other elected official in America, it's truly stunning in its accomplishments. It's even more impressive when you compare it with the legislative record of President Obama, who backroom deals and sneaky maneuvering to get his signature reform, that of Obamacare, passed through a Congress he controlled. It's no wonder that Mitch Daniels was named 2008 Public Official of the Year by the independent publication Governing Magazine. Good leaders prize accomplishments over pure ideology. But it's even better when you have a leader who is able to accomplish the passage of signature ideas from his personal ideology. Even with his unfortunate but endearing quality for being brutally honest and avoiding spin, Mitch Daniels is proving to be the once-in-a-generation leader that this nation is desperately seeking. It's not a coincidence that the last one we found was Mitch's own mentor and role model, the former governor of California and leader of the modern conservative movement, Ronald Wilson Reagan. Though his humility won't allow anyone to publicly make the comparison in his presence, the similarities are indeed stunning. We'll stick around for more Gillespie coming up next. Like I said, we got chairman of the Indiana chapter of Students for Mitch, Nick Barbconnect, he'll be coming up. And then we'll be talking with Media Lizzie in our Ask a Rhino segment. We'll be talking about Libya and presidential politics. As you're going to see, there's definitely a theme tonight, so stick around. You're listening to Gillespie here on FTRradio.com. Hey there, FTR Radio fans. This is Josh Gillespie, host of Gillespie, airing every Tuesday night at 10 p.m. I want to tell you about the Shoutcast app. Download it to your favorite smartphone today. Then search for FTRradio.com. Never miss your favorite FTR show again. This is a must-have for any FTR listener. Download the Shoutcast app today.
Hey, fellow conservatives, when you're drinking your overpriced coffee or a Moco Choco, whatever, and the Wacko Latte at Starbucks, you ever feel like you're the only conservative in there? That's because you probably are. But don't feel bad, as you can annoy the bejesus out of those pesky Moonbat, New York Times, and Daily Coast reading liberals by reading HoosierAccess.com. At HoosierAccess.com, you can read the latest thought and opinion from conservatives in the crossroads of America. Annoy the Moonbats. At HoosierAccess.com to your favorites today.
And welcome back to Gillespie. With me this segment is a voice you may be familiar with, one Nick Barbconnect. He's a contributor to Hoosier Access, as well as the representative of Indiana for Students for Mitch, which sounds like a difficult position to be in, being that you're from Indiana. It must be hard to keep up on all the things. Mitch Daniels. Ladies and gentlemen, Nick Barbconnect. How you doing, Mark? Mark, Nick. Huh. Sorry, yeah. I got Warner on the brain. He was in the last segment, so.
I'm the state chairman of Students for Daniels. We're a grassroots organization that basically just tries to generate support and discussion about Mitch Daniels for President of the United States, because he's an individual that has the budget and has the adult fiscal issues at heart, the things that will create a future for us that other folks have not been paying as well of attention to. And if all of us students around the country, we've got, I think we're up to about 60, 70 chapters nationwide. If all of us are anticipating to get jobs after we graduate, we need to be able to be in an environment where we can get those. What Mitch Daniels has created in Indiana is something that we can and should be able to take nationwide.
Well, Mitch has been fairly coy, if you will, about his intentions. He will lead you to believe that he's running one minute, and then he'll cut that thought right to the quick and lead you to believe he's not running.
That's the beauty of Mitch.
Well, you know, as you and I have both been able to experience Mitch's leadership now for the last 6 years, and we can attest that he really is the best governor in the nation. I'm all about being a homer for Mitch, but I've necessarily been convinced that he is running. Now, a part of that is because of there are some shortcomings to Mitch. One, in the previous segment, in our Ask a Rhino segment, we talked about how Mitch is, would come up to about Barack Obama's armpit. He's got the monk cut going on. Plus, he also, his wife hasn't been all that excited about him even being in the public eye. Running for president has been holding her, you know, it seems to be a big hurdle to jump over. Today, though, being Monday, the Indiana Republican Party made a big announcement that Sherry Daniels is going to be headlining their main event this year. And this, Nick, led you to believe that Mitch will be running for president.
Yeah, I'm personally never... there's a lot of folks that think that the pivotal key and Malt, it is a very important part of the roadmap to in the decision-making process to whether you run for president or not, whether your family and your spouse is on board.
Absolutely.
I've never personally thought that it was that big of a hurdle for Mitch to get over. if I'm married to a guy that has a very good chance and I wouldn't be married to a guy because we're not in New Hampshire, we're in Indiana. But if
were those girls in the background laughing at you for saying if you were married to a guy, that's what I want to know.
No. But if I'm Sherry Daniels and my husband has a very good chance at being president of the United States, it's not that hard to be able to make that argument, I don't think. I think it's probably an arduous process, and it's probably something that would take some persuasion, but I never thought that was that big of a hurdle to get over. But I think this above everything else, you can have Mitch speak at the spring. Lincoln at the spring state dinner. You can have him speak at X, Y, and Z. You can send him to Iowa and completely shock people. Or you can have his wife, who never speaks at public events, completely loathes politics, and has been quoted or mentioned in publications as being opposed to him running for president or not being completely on board with it. When you have that sort of statement that she's speaking and addressing a dinner, when you have that, and when you have the Students for Daniels folks from the East Coast be invited out to it by Chairman Holcomb, he's invited them out. When you have all these things tied together, when you have folks in the Indiana Republican Party, or as I like to call it, Mitch for America, like Eric Holcomb, who's running the Indiana Republican Party, he's the first paid state chairman, and I'm not even sure there's ever been a paid Indiana Republican Party chairman. I'm positive Murray Clark wasn't paid.
I can guarantee you Murray Clark wasn't paid. Neither was Jim Kittle before him.
Exactly.
I could name them all. He's paid.
Well, he's paid. It's a job for him. That's a reorganization, and then Justin Garrett moved up to be executive director. Yes. Then you got Pete Seed over there. Pete Seed, a good guy who used to work in the Bush White House.
Yeah, Pete's been a guest on this show.
People who could run a presidential campaign?
There are things that I will say. Yes, they have been basically presented as being a possible roadmap to a future run for president. My inclination initially to Eric Holcomb becoming state chair was actually that was a sign to me that he wasn't running, because if you're going to put your deputy chief of staff in charge of anything, if you're thinking national, and that's what Eric has been. He's been Governor Daniels' deputy chief of staff, chief political advisor. He has been the Karl Rove, if you will.
Yeah.
To Mitch Daniels. I don't put him as state chairman. I start putting, boots on the ground, maybe send him to Iowa or New Hampshire. So to me, that was Mitch saying, you know what, I'm going to sit this one out.
I can see that too, but it might be me just thinking optimistically, but when you look at what Holcomb can do as the state chairman and what opportunities he has that are different from being Mitch's deputy chief of staff. His opportunities are a little different. He can tell Mitch's story a lot bigger, and he has a lot more and it expands Mitch's control over the Indiana Republican Party and the ability for him to just control the message and make sure as he's been touting, this last legislative agenda gets through, hopefully the last before he runs for president.
Now, I want your thoughts here. The Democrats returned to Indiana after their long vacation, their spring break, if you will, to Champaign-Urbana. The House got right to it in passing stuff, including one of the largest education reform pushes in the entire country with Mitch's voucher bill. There were concessions made, but still, even with those concessions, it was one of the largest voucher bills to pass in the entire country. And there was also some big-time pro-life agenda. We got the budget passed. Now, you can point to the numbers that Republicans have. in the Indiana House, a 60-40 majority, but still, they've been passing things left and right, and a lot of that has been due to Mitch's agenda. My thought has been with Pat Bauer, who is the Indiana House Minority Leader, running off. This was his lone attempt to prevent Mitch Daniels from running for president. Because really, there's nothing he could do to stop his agenda other than just fleeing the state. But now that, you know, things are back in place, people are doing what they're paid to do in the Indiana legislature, there is, it's going to be close, but there's still a good chance that by the end of this month, the session is done, and in that first week of May, we get an announcement from Mitch, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you see anything? I mean, well, clearly you must see something like that happening. You're all in now, based on your tweet from earlier today.
I'm completely prepared to look like an idiot. I'm 100% positive that he's going to run, but with that 100% positive, I also see, you know what, I don't mind looking like an idiot on this one. I think he's going to run, because everything that is circumstantial, I think has been painted to be that way so that it buys him time, so that he doesn't have to be campaigning for so long. He's setting up the proper steps, the proper path to victory for himself, and he's telling his story, and he's getting the bad things out of the way early. Arguably, with the social truce, he got that out of the way a long time ago. So it's
not
dated. Yeah, it
keeps on coming up, though, Nick. I mean,
that's true.
Seems to be,
so he could also just be pissing people off deliberately. So I don't know.
Well, he does do that. I mean, the thing is that, you know, I was discussing these the candidates at writ large with Matt Lewis of the Daily Caller. And he had his list of things of, what things does a candidate have to do to win, as he called it, the Matt Lewis primary. And he had 10 suggestions. One of them being that you don't say stupid things.
I think it was, maybe this is just me being the optimist, but I think that was deliberate. I don't see that being a stupid statement on accident.
You think that Mitch Daniels deliberately went out of his way to piss off social conservatives? That's what you're saying.
When you paint it like that, no.
Because you paint a pretty picture there, Nick. I mean, Mitch hasn't done that. Mitch has easily one of the strongest pro-life records here in the state of Indiana that an Indiana governor has ever had. And it seems as if those who are upset with him over the truce issue, it seems to be the abortion issue primarily. And Mitch has, like I said, strong pro-life record, and he's admitted that he's willing to reinstate the Mexico City policy should he be elected president. Granted, Mitch was, obviously talking in hypotheticals at that point, but, other people may have issue over the whole gay marriage issue. He's never really been a strong proponent or antagonist towards the constitutional amendment here in Indiana. Then again, he as governor really doesn't have anything to do with it. If it's a constitutional amendment, it becomes a ballot measure. So
but
there's nothing
he
can really do.
And I see that completely, but I think if you compare him to this guy called, what's his name? John McCain, I think it is.
Oh, let's not make that kind of comparison, Nick.
When you compare
seriously?
It to him,
do you want Mitch to win?
I'm as a hypothetical, when you look at John McCain, someone who made it out of the primary. And
barely.
But he made it out of the primary nonetheless.
Yes.
He's someone who you could argue is to the left of Mitch Daniels.
I can agree, yes.
And I think to the far left of Mitch Daniels. But anyway,
yeah,
he made it out of the primary, and then he got himself far more conservative vice presidential candidate. Mitch Daniels is the guy who right now, as America has gone further to the right, probably more on economic issues than anything else since the last presidential campaign, creates a path for Mitch Daniels to be able to tell his story properly.
Interesting. And the comparison to John McCain, seriously, man, that kind of hurts. As one Hoosier to another, that kind of hurts, man. In having this conversation with Elizabeth Blackney yesterday during our Ask a Rhino segment, the one thing that she brought up, which I had never thought of as far as Mitch Daniel running for president, is his location, in that it's practically ideal because you can start neutralizing some of the media reporting coming out of Chicago. Because, I mean, granted, the Gary area is never going to be fond of Mitch Daniels, but the fact is you'll have people up there talking about Mitch a lot more than, say, they did about John McCain or any of the other candidates because, well, Mitch is so daggone close. Mm-hmm. You know, all you got to do is drive 2 hours south, and there you go. And that seems to be very, very beneficial to him in that he can sort of neutralize some of that media coverage of President Obama. Now, one final comment that I want from you. Today, President Obama did announce that he was running for re-election, to the surprise of everyone in the country.
No way.
I know. But all the prognosticators are saying that it's going to take $1 billion to run for president.
Yeah.
Mitch has said, again, rather, you know, hypothetically, should he run, he'll have the support and he'll have the money. Do you think Mitch can raise $1 billion between now and the end of, next year, which is when we'll be seeing the November election come to fruition?
After we exit the primary, it'll be a lot easier. And so it's a whole different story after that, because fundraising is a whole different field now.
Okay. Well, with that, Nick, thanks for being on the show this week. We've kind of run out of time for this segment, but we should have you back.
Talking about raising Romney. Come on.
Seriously, if Ron Paul and Michelle Bachman can outraise Mitt Romney, then surely Mitch Daniels can.
Exactly.
Heck, Ron Paul outraised both of them combined, which that was fun news to hear. Anywho. Like I said, we've come to the end of this segment. Nick, thanks for being on the show this week.
Thanks for having me.
We'll have you on again. You're listening to FTR Radio, or Gillespie here on FTR Radio. We'll be back right after these messages.
Getting born in the state of Mississippi. Papa was a copper and a mama was a hippie. In Alabama, she was wearing a hat.
Hey, Gillespie fans, this is Fingers Tiberius Malloy. Listen to The Snark Factor with Fingers Malloy every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time only on FTR Radio. And check out my website, fingersmalloy.com.
Hey, I'm Essie Cupp. You're listening to FTR Radio from the right radio online at ftrradio.com.
6 out of 10 Republicans recommend FTR Radio to everyone they know. The other 4 are rhinos. FTR Radio, online at ftrradio.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's time again for the wave that's taken the nation by storm. Where I put so-called Republicans on the spot. Are they real GOPers or just Republicans in name only? It's time for Ask a Rhino! Money.
And welcome back to Gillespie. This is, we're doing our Ask a Rhino segment, and our rhino this week, or we'll find out if she actually is a rhino, we're going to ask her, is a returner to the show, Elizabeth Blackney. How you doing, Lizzie?
I'm doing lovely. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing just fine. But we're bringing you up here on serious charges of rhinoism. And, of course, this is something that we talked about prior because the last time you were on the show, we talked about all your involvement in with Africa and just all the stuff that's going on over there, your in-depth research and how to be involved. And that's more of a serious thing. We're going to have a little fun, though, this time, because apparently rumor has it, according to your Twitter feed, that you were supportive of the invasion into Libya. Is this true?
It is true.
Oh, my
goodness. It is true. I know, it's a scandal.
It is a scandal because as Republicans, we're supposed to be against this invasion, Lizzie. At least this particular one for some reason.
Well, yes, because we're supposed to hate Barack Obama and everything he does every moment of every day because that's just what we do because we don't have, any intellectual thought. Oh, I'm sorry, no. Actually, I just support it because it's the right thing to do. It's not complicated.
I think my heart just went pitter-patter.
Well, here's
I don't really do that whole lockstep thing. It just doesn't work for me.
Well, here's a question I have for you, just to be a little on the serious side. We have all this other craziness going on in the country. There's some barbarism, if you will, going on in the Ivory Coast.
Horrible.
Crazy stuff going on in Yemen. Why aren't we there?
You know, this is where I do get kind of irritated with President Obama. I think that the problem I have is that he gives a speech earlier this week that was really kind of late after he phoned in an airstrike and takes our nation to war. Oh, well, yeah, but we're totally turning it over to NATO on Wednesday. Okay, well, that's fine. It's an American admiral who's running NATO. He's the Supreme Allied Commander. So, you know, the United States is still running 50 of the missions. Now, thankfully, most of that is refueling and supplies and recon and rescue and that kind of stuff, which is great. But when you look at what we're actually doing and the scale of violence in other places, I think, you know, he fell into the same marketing of this war that George W. Bush did on Iraq. And, you know, there's a great YouTube video out this week that somebody did on Extra Normal. And it has a couple of coworkers discussing Iraq versus Libya. And the Obama supporter, she says, "I don't care. Obama is awesome."
I've seen that. That's a hilarious video.
Hilarious, but it's also, you know, but it's also very, very true, is that we have to be able to have a dialogue that goes beyond ideology. And what's happening in Libya, I support it. I think it's the right thing to do. But I don't think that we're there for humanitarian reasons, no matter what the president said.
That's my issue.
Because if it was humanitarian, we'd be in Ivory Coast right now. 800 people were slaughtered. There are things happening on both sides. Both Gbagbo forces and opposition forces are slaughtering each other in the streets, you know, by the hundreds. And so, and we have violence in Bahrain, but we don't want to get in that because those are our boys, the Saudis, that are supporting that. So we're not going to get in that. So I think it's just disingenuous. The president should have said what his Secretary of State, who sounded far more presidential, Hillary, and his Defense Secretary, Bob Gates, said, which is, we're in Libya not only because of humanitarian reasons, but primarily because our allies who stood by our side after 9/11 and for 10 years in Afghanistan and Iraq asked us to help intervene to preserve the oil supply because they get their oil from Libya.
Wait a minute. This is a war for oil?
Yes.
Say it isn't so.
Yes, an oil.
This actually is a war for oil. Unlike Iraq, where we didn't go in for oil, and we actually went in for humanitarian reasons and to end a weapons of mass destruction. It was a counter-terror mission and a humanitarian mission. If they had sold it that way, then I don't think that we would have had the brouhaha. You know, this is the thing. The truth is bizarre enough. The truth is tough enough. And neither party's leaders ever seems to understand that if you just level with the American people, even if we disagree, we don't mind it when you just tell us the truth. It is when they start trying to get fancy that it ticks people off.
Well, I definitely think that there was some fanciness going on here, if you ask me. I mean, the president waits almost a week before he explains the reason for his invasion. He launches the invasion not from, you know, U.S. soil, but from Brazil.
On a plane.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. He was in the air when it happened. And
yeah, he just phoned it in. Dude, we totally need to go to war. Does someone have codes? Cool. This is so much fun. I can totally launch missiles from the plane. I mean, it's, you know, it's a little valley girl for me. Like, grow up. You're president of the United States.
Well, remember,
we're paying you, to do a job. Why don't you just not phone it in?
It's called a football for a reason. I mean, you know, it's for guys to have some fun.
See, I totally missed that memo. Never mind. I take back everything bad I ever said about him. That's good.
That's right. I guess some of the other issues that I have with this is that for all the crap that President Bush got for going into Iraq and for the way it was handled, and frankly, I think we can all agree it was a little mismanaged. But
yeah, a little.
But for all the grief that President Bush received, it seems as if President Obama has been completely absolved of all the mistakes that President Bush made, at least the same exact mistakes that he's making, that Bush made, and that, you know,
not
clear enough. The fact is that as much as the Democrats want to rewrite history and say that President Bush did not ask for permission, he got permission. He addressed the country, and there was a vote on this.
Repeatedly. It was 18 months of talking to the American people, the United States Congress, and the UN. So this whole, you know, President Obama phones it in after 3 weeks from a plane. It's just, it's very disingenuous. And here's the thing that I think on the Republican and conservative side of the aisle that we really need to be careful of is that the American people are not as stupid as we wish they were sometimes. Because we get very myopic because we all hang with other people who are obsessed with pop 24/7. And that's just not the real world. Mm-hmm. So we have to kind of back it out a little bit and look at this from 15 or 20,000 feet and go, oh, okay, so this is what this looked like. You point out the right things. President Obama didn't go through any of the same steps that President Bush did. But here's the thing. We have a whole group of people, the Rand and Ron Paul universe in the party right now, who are just as anti-Bush as Barack Obama ever thought of being.
How dare you make fun of or mention on this show the Pauls in a negative light?
Eat those two boys for breakfast and still be hungry.
Ron Paul's a nut.
Oh, I can't.
Okay, the guy is completely gone. He's bonkers, man. Rand is not quite there yet, but he's working on it.
If he decides he's going to run for president in 2012, I think he's there.
Yeah.
What? Oh, I totally hope so.
I do.
Yeah. Please run for president.
Well, that'll just add to the already stellar field that we already have. So,
Daniels announces, we're all good.
Well, you know,
yeah,
Mark,
thank you.
I think we all know it's going to happen.
Mitch Daniels, even though he's a little person, I love him.
Now you see,
you're alone in this, buddy.
And that, here's the thing. I think you both again. Not only
but he's manly.
He's one. Oh, guys, manly.
He's hot.
Oh my gosh. The fact that you're speaking about my governor like that, it's like speaking about my parents and saying, oh man, you know, your dad is hot. Man, don't say that.
The only thing Mitch Daniels needs to do is get a tan and shave his head bald. And then he's got that hot astronaut swagger and it's on.
Oh, now, see, one, you clearly have shown your rhino colors because you support Mitch Daniels for president.
Yeah, that's right.
Because, as we know, Mitch Daniels hates any social issues, and if you bring them up, he'll smack your face and say you're stupid.
That's right. And he'll start talking to you about hope and change.
And then, what?
Oh, wait, no, that's the other guy.
Oh, that's right. That's right. And of course, we all know that Mitch Daniels also he made the country broke because of the Iraq War. That was his fault.
Yes. Totally.
Completely his fault.
Kind of like Mitt Romney did to Massachusetts. Oh, wait, no, that actually happened.
No, that did happen. Yes, that's right. heaven help us.
Josh, when are you just going to sign on to Mitch for 12?
Well, one, Mitch hasn't announced anything, so there's no
when
reason for me to
help
sign on.
Sign on and promote this, though.
There's no reason for me to sign on to anything.
Why don't you help promote it, though?
But he's hot.
Stop saying that. Stop saying that. It's really bothersome.
Josh, answer the question. Why don't you help promote it?
Well, Mark, I mean, if truth must be laid bare, there will be something coming out with my name on it and Mitch Daniels' name on it, non-official. But that's neither here nor there.
And it's totally going to say Josh Gillespie signs on as communications director. There's a rumor to put out. I totally heard that from my friends. You are so on the list. See, and because I said that, somebody will believe it.
Somebody will believe it. That's true. That's true. No, there are very few people who, if they called me to join their campaign, even for president, would I actually do it. Mitch Daniels is one of them because I got to support the team. You know, he's my homeboy. Yeah, that's probably about it.
Well, he's got that whole Heartland hotness thing going on.
Plus, he rides a Harley.
Like I said, he's hot.
What other president? We see you can do a counterweight here. You have Mitch Daniels here on the right, center right, who rides a Harley, speaks his mind clearly, even when it gets him in trouble.
Or rides a bike in Urkel pants.
Oh yes, or Urkel pants, mom jeans. Actually, no offense, but he'll wear mom jeans and the safety hat.
Because he wants to be safe. Because if he wasn't safe, he could hurt himself, and that would be sad.
And have you seen the guy throw a pitch?
No, I haven't.
That's our president.
He throws
out there
like a girl.
Oh man.
I'm saying, the hottest thing that any president ever did is George W. Bush right after 9/11, when he went to the Yankees game in the World Series and threw a strike. Like, here's the thing. We get very, you know, we tend to be very cynical in this business, but I have got to say, I love when we have great things happen. And George W. Bush, you know, our country, you know, it's the field of dreams and all these really great hopeful narratives that happen in our pop culture that we sometimes forget to embrace. And that's one of the things that I loved about W is that he was always down for that. And I do think that for the Democrats, Barack Obama represented some of that kind of thing to them. Now, I didn't agree, but he represented that to them. So that's fine. I get that.
Mm-hmm.
But clearly now that he's in office, it's like electing Al Gore. Everybody's like, oh, no, it's just John Kerry light. Ugh, slightly less irritating? That's not hopeful at all.
But he's got more pizzazz.
He gives good voice, but so what?
Mm-hmm.
If he's phoning it in, you can't hear him anyway. So, you know, I think that when we look at 2012, I think Barack Obama is going to be very strong. The base of the Democratic Party is never going to stray from him. But Republicans, all we have to do is keep our eye on the ball. Well, and not be ridiculous. We've just got to keep our eye on the ball, and we can get there.
So, Lizzie, let me ask you.
Unless it's Rand Paul, in which case, you know, no.
Well, Lizzie and Mark here, let me ask you this real quick. Let's presume Mitch Daniels isn't going to run, because I don't think he is. I know.
Stop.
Who's your boy? Lincoln Chafee, hoping that Joe Lieberman finally switches sides and runs as a Republican?
John Huntsman.
Oh, gosh. Someone who's actually affiliated with the Obama administration. Yes, you guys really have shown
your hopes. He's really good on China policy, and he is also hot.
Oh, gosh. He's not even my governor. I still take issue with that.
I can't help it. It's just too funny because, well, look, compared to the rest of the people who are running, you know, here's the thing. And I know I make a lot of jokes about, well, he needs to be hot. And here's why I say that.
It's because it's true to a certain degree.
Well, it is true. It has the benefit of being true. But also, Celinda Lake, who's a left-wing pollster, did a series of polls with Kellyanne Conway, who's a Republican pollster. And then they wrote about it, what women want. And female voters largely vote for, if their choices are men, and even you see some of this with Hillary, is they want the alpha dog. They want somebody they know is going to keep them safe.
Yeah.
And that isn't going to be flustered by by scary world events, by the horrible drama that you have going on around the world. And they want to feel safe again. And I do think that this is where the Libya decision, while the president made the right decision, he's not convicted about it. He doesn't like it. Because inherently, he doesn't like war. He doesn't like the military. He says all the right things about, oh, well, you know, we love the sacrifice of our troops. Our troops are great, blah, blah, blah. But if it sounds pro forma and it sounds phony, the American people get that. And I do think that if you look, whether it's John Huntsman or Mitt Romney or really any, you know, Haley Barbour, who's got lots of problems. And I love Haley. I love Haley, too.
I got to be honest. If it's not Mitch, I do like Haley. But my goodness, the guy can't seem to stop putting his foot in his mouth.
Well, and he's got some optics problems. You know, he's got optics problems and he's got real problems. I love Haley, but I don't know that he's ever going to be able to get across the finish line there. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if he necessarily should. There's a lot to learn between now and the end of the primary season. But, you know, I think that female voters in particular are going to look at our field and, you know, stand each one of those people up against Barack Obama and then think about what they see on their 6 o'clock news every night. And go, boy, yeah, I'm going to go for the biggest, baddest man I can find because I don't feel safe.
Well, if that guy's Mitch Daniels, he stands 5'5", and Barack Obama's 6'4". We got a height problem.
It doesn't matter, Josh. Mitch is
serious? No. No, I mean, honestly, I'm being
Mitch is tough, though.
This has been my biggest fear for Mitch Daniels if he got into the race.
Hey, Napoleon was hot, too, and, you know.
But he took over by force. There's a little bit of a difference there.
I totally think Mitch Daniels would take it by force.
But Mitch, I mean, you guys recall.
But bum.
Yeah. You guys recall 1988, Saturday Night Live. They do their presidential debate, George Bush versus Michael Dukakis. They got John Lovitz playing Michael Dukakis. And he gets up to the stage, he gets up to his podium, and you see him press a button because he is so short in comparison to George W. Bush. And they play on the fact that he's short. And of course, he had the stupid helmet thing in the tank. But
right.
Really
an epic mistake.
An epic mistake. But Mitch. Honestly, the only thing that I would see that you know is his problem is he would make a great president in the radio era, or even pre-radio era, but television.
Okay. Some female staffer will just leak that he's a tripod, and it'll be over.
Oh my God. Again, that's my governor. Please don't talk about my governor that way.
Okay, here's the thing.
I'm a rhino. I get to talk that way.
Let me say this. I think what your voters are going to be looking at in 12, and if I'm wrong, then
you're wrong.
Wrong. But I think a lot of voters, they're going to go, oh, man, he's short, or he's bald on the back of his head, or, oh, my God.
He's got a monk cut. That's what he's got.
When they hear him talk.
He's just got to shave it, and then he'll be good.
When they hear him talk, and they see his accomplishments.
His accomplishments are phenomenal.
They are going to overlook that height issue.
Well, and I think so, too. I think that while the optics of it are not optimal for him, I totally agree. He's short, you know, walking across the stage. You know, he's going to come up to Obama's, you know, shoulder, me. You know, he's only 6'2", not 6'4".
Oh, sorry. Sorry.
You know, it's a huge difference when you're trying to make up for, you know, the little man.
Yeah.
I like Mitch Daniels. And here's the thing. To be just kind of serious for a moment, I agree with Mark. And I think that when you look at the accomplishments that Mitch Daniels has, you look at his approval rating in Indiana is still, you know, astronomical for a governor.
Yeah, in his second term, no less.
And he's in his second term. He's still making a difference. He's still getting it done. So when you look at those things, you know, your local media are huge. The other side of this that I think is kind of lost in some of the discussion, if he decides to get in, you guys are in media markets that are close to Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
And it's on. And that's where you help depress Obama's natural base in big cities. Because all you have to have is some pro-Mitch Daniels stories on your local drive time radio in those shared media markets, and you're going to depress voter turnout. And when you have people like Tom Joyner and other folks who are in urban radio, they're not going to be happy when they're hearing all their local affiliates say how super awesome Mitch Daniels is. Mitch Daniels has got advantages being in that, in just in Indiana, just by the virtue of geography and his accomplishments as a governor, make him very formidable against Obama. Because here's the thing, it matters who wins in November, not in our primary.
Actually, and for Mitch to win in November, he does have to get through the primary, and that's the concern.
Well, and I think he can, because I think that that is the kind of momentum that starts early during the primary that make our people energized about voting. It's like, oh, okay, so the urban radio people are freaking out about Mitch Daniels. That's the guy I'm going to vote for. This is what happened in 2000. You know, during B2K, the Bush 2000 primary, you know, it was, it was on. And he was in his second term in Texas, and everybody in Texas loved him, and he was a great governor. He was very pragmatic, and he was very successful. And he worked radio like nobody's business.
Mm-hmm.
He worked it hard. And John McCain wanted to, you know, go on his bio. You know, he wanted to phone it in. And
kind of like the 2008 presidential campaign.
Kind of like the 2008 campaign, which, as, you know, a lot of us Bushies were like, yeah, we told you. Because, you know, this is why we didn't like him in 2000, because he wants to go on bio and entitlement. And that's just not where the American voter is at.
Yeah.
You know, you got to work for it a little. You know, take us out to dinner. Let us know you give a damn. And, you know, the only thing I will say about Mitch Daniels that I see as a concern is he's got to have the fire in the belly.
He does.
If he doesn't have the fire, then there's no point in him getting in the race. Let him be the biggest, baddest surrogate for whoever the nominee is, but he's got to have the fire, because if he only kind of does and he's not really committed to it, then it's a problem. You know,
right. This
is where I come in, and I wish that Rob Portman was running for president and wasn't a first-term U.S. senator, because we need somebody who's got real accomplishments, who's got it together. And frankly, looking at Mitt Romney and the current Tim Pawlenty, I can't vote for Tim Pawlenty in a primary unless the only two people on the ballot are him and Sarah Palin.
Oh, geez.
Or Michelle Bachmann. I can't vote for Tim Pawlenty because he makes my skin crawl.
Oh, T-Paw?
He doesn't excite me.
Well,
beyond not exciting me, my problem with Tim Pawlenty is his book title is so self-aggrandizing that it makes me want to throw up. Courage to Stand. You're a twice elected white guy governor from Minnesota. What exactly, and you've never served in the military, what exactly is it you have courage to do? Because courage to me is an 18-year-old cradling an M16 eating dehydrated peaches in Afghanistan. That's courage to me. Those kids out there defending our freedom, that's courageous. Some guy who's a governor that nobody knows with a mullet. No amount of good ads makes him awesome ever.
I gotta agree. Teapot, doesn't do it. He doesn't do it.
Now let's just bring this up. My name just popped up on Twitter, going, Twitter survey, is that M. Warner 95 a progressive?
Really? Can I
Rob again responds, yes.
I feel like there's, I did not know this. There's something I need to participate in. Hold on, I'll be right back.
How am I progressive? I'm not a progressive.
You're just a rhino.
People choose to embrace their ignorance rather than doing any actual research. They just throw around big words that they don't understand how to use.
Well, this is Nick Barb Connect, so I just overlook it, but still.
Well, and this is like that, and here's the thing that is funny to me. Is that it's always, when they say you're a rhino, and see, this is the thing I say, and it always gets me hate mail, and it's really fun to read the hate mail that I get when I say this. When they say, oh, you're a rhino, what they really mean is I'm not conservative enough. So that would actually make me conservative in name only, except that I don't ever identify myself as conservative. Oh, I'm a Republican. I've been doing this for more than 20 years. I've been on lots of FEC reports. I've done all kinds of things that you can measure the metrics of being in the fight for the Republican Party. Conservative? No, you're right. Absolutely not. I'm totally not a conservative. But, you know, rhino? No. I'm a Republican. I'm just not one of those. And I also don't think that trying to reanimate Reagan's corpse is always a super awesome idea since he's gone.
Okay, thank you. All right, this will definitely lump me in with the two of you. But God love the former president.
Of course.
But he's dead. We cannot have another one. And all these people who say, well, they need to match up to Reagan or they need to be another Reagan. No, they need to be a leader. We can't keep on looking to the past. We need someone who is willing to take chances, willing to you know, put...
Lead?
Yeah, yes.
Who not phone it in from 1981. We don't live in the same world we did in 1981.
We don't.
Or 1989. That we need...
Although I think a couple weeks ago we thought we were still in 1986. But...
Well, yeah. And every time I look at the TV, I wonder if it's 1984, but, you know...
Oh, my goodness.
That's just because every time I look at TV, there's some new EPA regulation or SEC regulation or something else that's going to completely inhibit growth.
Very true. Very true. Well, Lizzie, you have shown your colors. You are a rhino, and I love you for it.
I love you, too.
And I thank you for being on the segment this week. This has definitely been fun. We've been serious, but we've also had fun. And if we are lucky, and here's where I will show my colors. If we are lucky, Mitch Daniels will announce that he's going to run for president here in the next few weeks. He just has business to take care of here in Indiana first, and hopefully that's coming to an end shortly. But
ding ding ding.
He's my governor.
Unicorns and glitter and magical cherubs and everything will happen. I just know it. You know how Obama said he was going to turn back the seas? Mitch Daniels is actually going to do it. Starting with the plutonium leak in Japan, I hope.
That's right. That's right. Lizzie, thanks for being on the show this week.
Thanks.
All right. We will be right back here on Gillespie here on FTR Radio. Stick around for more coming up next. How you get the mood and a reckless? Don't you be so crude and a feckless chicken chicken boofball breakfast.
FTR Radio is from the right radio. Online at FTRradio.com.
And welcome back. With me is Jenny Erickson. How you doing, Jenny?
I am doing well tonight, Josh. How are you?
I'm doing just fantastic. Hopefully, we're in the middle of the NCAA basketball game. So hopefully, as this airs on Tuesday, I will be celebrating a Butler championship. But we'll see.
I'm sorry, I stopped listening 25 seconds ago.
Well, in that case, tell me, what's going to be on the Jenny Erickson Report tonight?
I am very excited to have on the Jenny Erickson Show Amelia Hamilton. You might know her, and our Twitter listeners might know her as Gads Denista on Twitter.
Oh, yes.
She's just a really cool conservative girl. We're just going to talk about a couple of current events, a little things that she has going on in her life that might be very exciting to people listening, especially people with kids. You have to listen to find out why. But ooh. I'm just excited to do a conservative chick chat with her.
Hey! Now, this sounds like something worth listening to, even as a guy, because you chicks have shown you guys got, you know.
We got chops.
You got chops. That's right. That's right. Well, cool. Well, I hope everybody tunes into the Jenny Erickson Show. Tell me, what time does the show air?
This show airs at 11 p.m. Pacific, 2 a.m. Eastern. It's the hour before Red Eye. And for the people that actually have to get up for work in the morning, it will be on podcast Wednesday morning.
Yay! All right. Well, thank you, Jenny. I know that you have things to get to, so I thank you for coming on tonight.
Well, thanks for having me, Josh.
All right. We'll be right back after these messages.
FTR Radio is now 100% Michael Jackson free. Can they say the same at the New York Times? I think not. FTR Radio, always online at FTRradio.com.
And welcome back to Gillespie here on FTRradio.com. My thanks
go to tonight's guests. We had a great show tonight, thanks to Nick Barbconnect, the student chair of the Indiana chapter of Students for Mitch Daniels, as well as to Elizabeth Blackney, a.k.a. Media Lizzie, for being this week's Rhino on our Ask a Rhino segment. Also to Mark Warner, our token show Rhino. He was able to be a part of the Ask a Rhino segment. Hey, I want everyone to make sure that they check out Gillespie on iTunes. You can download the podcast, catch up on old shows. Heck, you can go over to Facebook, like, you know, Gillespie on FTR Radio. Just go to facebook.com/FTR Gillespie on FTR Radio. We had a good show this evening. Catch up on all the action on HoosierAccess.com. And plus, there will be quite the video coming out tomorrow, Wednesday morning, on HoosierAccess.com. It might have a little to do with Mitch, and Nick may have a little, may have had a little to do with that. Anyway, thanks for tuning in tonight. Coming up next is Michael Fidenza, the armchair energist, and like we mentioned earlier, later tonight, the Jenny Erickson Show. Thanks for tuning in this week. We'll see you again next week. Have a good evening. Bye.